course, everybody knows here our focus this year is breakthrough. Breakthrough is overcoming an obstacle or restriction. This is the appointed season time for this church and other churches I hear. It's appointed time for God's people to move past those restrictions, those obstacles. And you do that first, as it was said, in the inside. You always make a move inside first. Outside is superficial. Yeah. Things are subject to change on the outside for the good, the bad, any moment. Right. Bam, like that.
Amen?
Yeah. But you change inside. You see your breakthrough through the Word of God. You have anticipation. You begin to build your faith. You begin to see it in the inside before you ever manifest it on the outside. That's how it works. And so this is that season of empowerment for those breakthroughs and finances and healing. See, it's God wants you to have the whole plan. He don't want you to be rich and get old and be sore and don't want to spend your money and go on a trip or wherever you want to go when you get older and got money. You're in the bed, laid up, hurting in pain. That's not the process God wants. He wants you to break through in every area of your life. Or not get old and be tormented by your mind or tormented by your past. So many people are tormented by past mistakes. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Being victims of circumstances and events. And can't move through your breakthrough with that kind of mentality. I know you heard this before, that they've been the saying, hold your place there in Genesis. You've heard this before when people say there's too much water over the dam.
Yeah.
Amen. You've heard that. That's when a person says there have been so many mistakes, so many things I've done wrong, there's no use to try to go any further. Can't see any way out. Too much water over the dam. And we have people sitting in churches and their relationship with God have that same view about their life. Too much mistakes, too much water over the dam with God. And so they disqualify themselves. You heard me say that. We don't need a devil most of the time. We disqualify ourselves from most of the things God has for us. Because we don't understand grace and mercy and love and forgiveness. And so we live that mentality. Too many mistakes in my life. Too much water over the dam with God. And we disqualify ourselves and move away from God. You never get away, but we move away. And we continue to live in that mess because we are disqualified. And I want to teach you this morning how not to be disqualified. See, we have moves like this and we can, you know, hang from these lights if it was possible and do all kind of stuff in here. And it won't affect you if you've disqualified yourself. If you have a victim mentality that, oh, woe is me. I got so many mistakes and I've done so much that God can't do anything for me. Well, then you move away from God. But there's good news. God never moves away from you.
Amen.
Just like Adam and Eve, when they sinned with God and hid themselves behind fig leaves and didn't even want God to know they were still in the garden, God came looking for them and said, Adam, where art thou? Then he said this, who told you you were naked? Who told you have now become disqualified? Who has told you now you are a victim and not anymore a victor? But they believed they had disqualified themselves. But thanks be to God. God, we don't know for sure, but there was shedding of blood some way. God did something and covered them so that he didn't kill them or annihilate the man and woman of God. So I want you to know, it's important that you understand. This is why we're going to Genesis chapter 1. Very important scripture in your life. Simple. You hear me read it all the time. You need to understand what this is saying so you'll stay qualified. You'll know God's plan for your life is eternal. He does not negate His plans. Who are we to think that we have so such a great sin that we disqualify ourselves from continuing on with God? You know, when you do that, you taking the blood of Jesus and making it making it less than what it is, because the Bible says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The Lord gave me a dream one night, and I was on the side of a sidewalk, and the devil was on the other side, and he was just poking at me and just coming at me and just telling me what he was going to do to my life, and he was bringing fear and doubt and disbelief on my life. And all of a sudden, words came to me. It said, "Look in the middle." And I looked in the middle, and there's a river of blood between the two sidewalks. And the voice said to me, "He can't come across the bloodline. All he can do is torment you, make you afraid." So look here in Genesis chapter 1. This is God's desire for us. See, a lot of people know about the sin problem. They know about what happened to Adam and Eve, and they forget about what God said before the sin, because Jesus paid the sin debt. He paid it off. He paid the sin debt off. Now, I'm not going to preach Baptist doctrine, but the scriptures in the Bible or whatever, anything. I'm telling you, sin is not a problem with God. It's been taken care of. Sin's a problem with us. The look, I want you to see in Genesis chapter 1. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. I want you to notice this was God's doing, not our choice. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." This is God's desire for His creation. It's God's desire for you and me, male and female. It's God's desire. Number one, to be fruitful. That doesn't necessarily mean to make babies. But it means to have the fruit of God in your life. To multiply godly fruit. To be like God. That's what it meant. It meant, in number two, he said multiply. It means to reproduce that good fruit in others. In your offspring. Teach them the ways of God, like we said. So they'll be godly, not unrighteous. Three, replenish the earth. Put back in the earth what has been robbed from the earth. Just think about it. The mess up was created by a word given to somebody. You can be greater than God. A confession was made to Adam and Eve. You can be greater than God. I'll show you what the power of words will do. And they believe that. They believe that idea. It wasn't the fruit taken. It was the idea that they could be better or higher than God. They were already gods. And then the salvation came when God said, "Let there be." And there was. And you, even in your own life, coming from darkness to life requires you to say something. I want you to see this, because God said these things to men, to you and me, and He meant them to come to pass. Just like came to pass when Adam and Eve sinned from that confession with the devil, and they agreed with it. "You shall surely die," and they did. Just like the earth you see today with void and darkness. But God said, "Let there be light." And there is. The same power that you said when you said, "I confess Jesus, Lord, over my life. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead." Immediately, God translated you from power of darkness in the power of light. That's powerful. Well, this is powerful. God said it, and it's so. Replenish the earth. And number four, what we're going to talk about today, subdue and have dominion. Subdue and have dominion. God said, that's my desire for you. That's my desire for you as a male and a female, is let nothing overtake you in life. You are the ones to subdue. You are the ones to take dominion, which is a kingdom word. It's take authority over your life. So many people sitting here have never took authority over anything except your husband or your wife or your children. And you never tried to take authority over you. See, the greatest authority you can ever have is authority over you. When you can tell yourself, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to receive that pain. I'm not going to do that sin. I'm not going to do that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Dominion. God never intended anything in their life. Believe me. Anything, what it may be, from hell or from whatever, from anybody, for us to live under a circumstance or an event. Always taking dominion. Say dominion.
Dominion.
Always ruling. Always in authority. That's what his intention was. But too much water over the dam in most of our lives. We've made so many messes, we just can't. We disqualified ourselves from that lifestyle. But I'm telling you, the Word of God is quick and powerful. And all you need to do is believe it. And it shall come to pass. Turn and tell somebody, it shall come to pass. Jesus. Listen to me. I don't want you to turn these scriptures. Jesus reaffirms this authority and power that God has invested in His creation. In Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, say all power,
all power
is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations with that power. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you even unto the end. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you have all power, if Jesus had all power, and He says, I have all power in heaven and earth, then let me ask you something. Does all power mean all power there is?
Yeah.
Does that all means all, right? Well, where is the devil getting power? If Jesus had it all. And that all-powerful one lives inside of us. Then there's nothing the devil has any more powerful than what we have. People don't like when you mess with their devil. They got to have a devil. I'm telling you, people wouldn't even pray without the devil. Most of your prayers are prayers because the devil's whipping your butt.
That's right.
Not a prayer, but thankful to God of His Word that you're living and overcoming. See, when people get upset when you mess with money and the devil. But we have power over both of them. I'm not twisting anything. All power. That's English tells me all power. Then where does the devil get his power? He gets the power of what we give him over our life. And that's why I say when we understand what we're here for and take dominion and subdue, he can't do anything about us. He can bring, we live in a hostile situation. Yes, he is the God of this world. And he can bring afflictions on you, but he can't kill you. Listen, folks, we cry so much about things that can be fixed. If you're not dead, we can work on it.
That's
why I tell everybody, when I get all bent out of shape, wait. Is anybody in the morgue? No. Are you dying with a dreadful disease and you got 6 weeks to live? No. I said, well, this can be fixed. Quit crying about it.
Come on.
Take dominion and authority over it. That's what you've been called to do. We're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We're more than conquerors through Christ who's in us.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's God's will. Say, that's God's will for your life. God's will. God's will. All power means all power. 1 John 3:8. It says this, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Man of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of Satan. Destroy the works of Satan. See, here it is. Now we believe the devil's a destroyer, right? He comes to kill and steal and destroy. I mean, we know, we pray against that. But Jesus also is a destroyer who destroyed the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, I'm not talking about saved people. Lost people, they don't like this. But if you don't know Jesus, the Bible says the devil is your father. That's what the Bible says. He's a father of liars, so I wouldn't believe a thing he says. Amen? So we see here, we have power. We have power over all the enemies. And some of you need to you use that power. Amen. I'm telling you, it's a way of life. I remember when we was at Rhema, Bethany was being tormented by some little bitty people that was in the ceiling, and she wasn't sleeping at night. We didn't know why she wasn't sleeping, but one night we went in there, we was, you know, going through faith school, and we knew that the Lord said we'd have peace and sleep belonged to us, and little Bethany whale would be a long time going to sleep and stay awake. And we was in there one night and we were talking to her, and she said, "Well, I'm just going to tell you." And she's about 5 years old. She said, "Look at the ceiling. There are little bitty people up in there. The little things are walking around. They bother me." Of course, we couldn't see them, but she could. And we told her to do this. I said, "You tell those things in the name of Jesus to leave this house." And her little 5-year-old, 4 or 5, she looked up with that little finger and she pointed at them things. I never will forget. And she told them to leave in the name of Jesus. And she said, "They're going, Daddy. They're going, Mama." One by one, they made a journey and left the house.
Hallelujah.
She knew her authority. Amen. But we don't exercise our authority and take dominion. And we let any event, any circumstance come our way and cause us to disqualify ourselves. Can I hear amen? I got a lot on that, but I'm going to skip on over. Turn with me to this scripture, John chapter 1. Because all that I said won't be affected in your life until you look at this verse. John chapter 1, St. John chapter 1, verse 12. When you find it, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, I know a lot of us have had breakthrough, but just one breakthrough in one realm is not efficient. We need breakthrough in every area of our life. Don't stop because you might have got some breakthrough in your finances or some breakthrough in your health for a moment or some breakthrough here. You continue on.
Amen.
I said continue on. Amen.
Amen.
So you become whole.
Amen.
Not holy, but whole.
Amen.
But as many received Him. That verse 12, John chapter 1. But as many as received Him or believed Him, to them that received Him or believed Him, gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that which believe on His name. Now I want to take it like this. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become. See, anything you don't receive, anything you don't grasp and believe is truth, you cannot possess it. Well, show me, Lord, and I'll believe it. Don't work that way. When I get enough faith, I'll believe for my breakthrough. It don't work that way. When I see it coming, I know it's on the way. It don't work that way. As many as received Him, the Him is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of life. Jesus is the Word. Amen. You want to know Jesus? This is it, the Bible, the Word of God. That's Jesus. So if you receive the word, then you have the power to become. See, so much of our faith teaching is like, convince me. Show me. Show me, show me, show me. Not going to work. It's when you hear the word breakthrough, your inside should leap. That's me. When you hear the words that the wind of God's going to blow in August the 1st, your anticipation ought to shoot up. You ought to look at the calendar. You ought to already begin to look and see the first day of August is on a Sunday. That's the Lord's day. Grab it. Receive it. Make it a part of your life by your confession. Can't wait till August. Some of you already said, oh Lord, we're going to be in church all week long. You're not going to receive it. You might as well stay at home and watch Days of Your Life. I release you right now. Just stay home, you doubter. Don't come, because it's for shouters. So y'all little weenie... Never mind. I got to be good, I know. Preacher tells me I got to be good over there when I keep them visitors coming. You little nothing. Listen, you have no idea how many church services I've sat through in my life. No idea. They didn't hurt me. They didn't harm me. They made me better. Lord, we talk about a week's revival. I remember my daddy had a tent. We traveled all over the country. 3 weeks, 4 weeks. We had church services that last 5 hours. We go to church and not go home from morning to evening. And we talk about, people already set this up. I got too much to do. What's going to do it? I don't care if we have 10, but the 10 here are looking for the wind to blow. Hey, I mean, I'm a good fellow. I'm merciful, but I mean, I have trouble when people start that stuff. Yes. You don't know how many hours I work. Listen, I work the third shift. I preach Sunday morning. I preach Sunday night. Pack my bags up. Go to work. Not had any sleep all day long. God only knows how I got home. Work all day. Weave all over the road. Go back. And meet Brother Jeff for breakfast and go and eat breakfast to lunchtime. And they asked us to go leave. And we go home and sleep about 2 hours and get up and go to church somewhere. We did that for 5 years. Lord, it didn't hurt me. God made up the wedge. God made up the strength. God gave us time because we was engulfed. We were receiving Him. And then He gave us power. Was Jeff come in this morning? But he said, he come in, he played golf on Friday, played golf on Saturday, and he came to the house yesterday and he was just barely making it. I said, go home and go to bed. He goes to bed, he come in. I said, how you doing? He said, I'm tired, but the Holy Ghost, get on me, I'll be all right. He put the fire shut up in your bones. But you can't begrudgingly think, I don't have time for all that. Well, you won't get it, so just do your stuff. Good. He'll love you. You'll go to heaven. You'll go to heaven. Sealed and delivered through the blood of Jesus. But you won't experience breakthrough. Amen. I was telling Penny the other day, I worked many of Sundays, but you know when I worked them? After church was over. I tell my boss, I'm not coming. The church is over. I've been many times. We go to work on Saturday midnight, me and Brother Jeff would, at midnight on Saturday, work all night, so we go to church on Sunday. I know I'm making y'all feel bad, but you need to know the truth. That God expects payment ahead of time. It's not. Look, I'm 61. I can say it. God don't. This Christianity, they're not for some old whiny little person. Living in the abundance, living in the good life is not for some whiny, up and down, in and out, complaining all the time. You're not going to live the good life. You're not going to live the good life. I said, you're not going to live the good life. The good life costs you something. You're not going to be blessed without giving. I don't care if you ain't got a dime. Go get a dime somewhere. Go sell a bottle. Bring a diamond ring. Bring a car. Put something at the altar so God can bless you. On your account. You don't give to keep no lights on, especially here. They're going to be on regardless of who's here. Yes. There ain't no visitors here. I ain't preached. See, I ain't seen it. We got a couple. They've been here 3 times. They know what it's about. Maybe that's why we ain't full this morning. We need to hear these things. Man, we need to get excited about God. We ought not sleep at night till we're walking into the abundance of God. We ought to be on our knees. Lord, I know it ain't your fault. I know in my life I think there's too much water over the dam, but merciful Lord, have mercy on me. Shine your love upon me. Amen. Hallelujah. You're either here this morning living a life of a victim, or you're here living the life of a victor. Only 2 ways to live. Either you haven't operated under the power of God, messed your life up and disqualified yourself, or either you believe in the Word of God and you know what it means. Even in the midst of your trial, you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. There's no in between. You're either a victor or a victim. And I'm going to tell you something. Being a victim, you will never break through. What does the word victim mean? It means to be the injured party. The injured party. It's so easy today in 2010 to be the victim, because everybody seems like they're making decisions for us that we have no control over. The government's just doing their thing. They're doing it, and it'll produce in your life, in our life, the victim mentality. What we need to do is get on our knees and pray. And, you know, disqualify them come November. Amen. Whatever. Amen. It's so easy to be a victim. People make decisions for you.
You're right.
Amen. You become injured.
Yeah.
It's easy to blame others for your life. Easy. My mama didn't do it right. My daddy didn't do it right. My uncle, my brother, and I know we all have representative. I know the lives of some of you were molested by other people and things. I know that. I pray for you, and I want you to be healed over it. But me making excuses for it and just saying you can live that way the rest of your life as a victim will not help you. It won't help you. God never intended us, we just read it, to be carried away by events and circumstances. Never. Nothing. Romans 8:31 says, don't turn there, through 36. Let me read. What shall we say to these things, these circumstances and events that pressing on us today? You need to read this scripture too. Pressing on us in every kind of way. If it ain't this, it's that, somebody would say.
Right.
Don't ever say that, though, because if it, the this and that's keep coming.
Right.
What shall we say to these events, these circumstances? If God be for us, who in the world can be against us? They're fools if they are. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? If God, it is God that justified. Who is it he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that he's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Listen, these are circumstances. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, naked as a pearl, a sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted the sheep for the slaughter. Nay! In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. No matter. This verse lets us no matter what circumstances is. And it lists them all there. Should be able to separate me, disqualify me from what God wants me to be.
Yeah.
Well, you just don't know me. God does.
Yeah.
Amen. Say God does.
God does.
See, in this season, in the way it is, because of a victim mentality and because of hurts and pains, most people don't want to swim upstream. They don't want to go against the feelings and the tide. They want everything to push them where they're going. Let life take me. It ain't taking me where it wants to go. I'm telling you, I have to be good most all the time. I don't like it when people jerk me around. I don't. I'm the love of God. I got to respect people. I'm a pastor. But I don't like them jerking me around, trying to take me away from what God wants in my life.
Amen.
Trying to upset me. You can't hardly get nobody to do anything right.
Right.
Can I preach a little bit? You can't hardly get anybody to do. You hire them and you think they're going to do a good job. I can't tell you. Me and Brother Jeff are just we're just about lost when it comes to what do we do. You hire people, pay them what they ask for. They walk out the door. You go a day late, look at what they did, and it still don't work. I don't know how they tricked me and Brother Jeff. 2 days later, it's tore up. I don't like that. I believe a man gets paid what he ought to get paid, he ought to do what he gets paid for. Like Brother Ralph said, excuse of the brethren is worse than the accuser. I mean, we're excusing too many things. Because people are hurt. Because you don't want to hurt nobody. I don't want to hurt nobody, but we don't want them to go down the next person and beat them out of money.
Amen.
I don't think I'm going to pay nobody till 90 days. Make them almost sue me and pay them. Make sure it works. It's hard. I mean, we're living in times now. We become victims of everything. But greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. I don't mean you have to be old mean person, but dear God, we need to help out the world sometime. Amen. I don't know. Do you cut your own grass, Brother Willie? All right. Well, I think and say though. They wouldn't let you buy you go out there and cut half that grass. Huh? And you come home and you hire somebody to do yours and they do about half it. No, that don't work that way. I don't care if we've been victims or not. We got to have the right attitude about life. We can't make excuses any longer. Amen. 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 People choose to be victims and they choose to be victors. I know some of you are taking a deep breath right now. I'm getting to you. God's getting to you. Sometimes you gotta get down where that. I used to have risins and that little, what do you call that little thing that's stuck in the risin? What they used to call that thing? The cord. Any old people here with a. Man, I'm telling you what. Them Watkins, them had that black staff stuff. And come on, help me out, oldies. You get that black salve, you put on that thing right there, on that, and you leave it on that passion, and you wake up. Now, people going to think I'm crazy. I saw the other day at the mall where they was taking a string. Anybody see that?
Yeah.
Take a string around, do this away, and pluck your eyebrow.
Yeah.
You seen that? Then people, they take a string and they go, whoop, and poop, whoop, whoop. I couldn't get none of them women to do it. I almost wanted to get them to do me just so I could see it in operation. But that's what they do. Well, I used to take a, when you get that core up, you can see it sticking up a little bit, that white thing. I used to take a string and pull it across there and pull that sucker right out of there. And boy, it got better after you got that core out of there. It hurt while it was in there, but once you got that core out of that rising, anybody know what a carbuncle is?
Yes.
Any of you, it's not something you drive, young folk. I love it. I could talk about things you don't even know about. Ha, ha, ha. Carbuncles, when a lot of them get around. You got one main big old rising. You got little ones around there called a carbuncle. God delivered me from, I used to have them lanced. You know what lancing is? Go to the doctor. I had so many risings, I got scars where they lanced them when I was a child. Taken in, and they just take a knife and just cut them risings out and pop out them cores. God healed me. I ain't had none since my youth, but I used to have them all the time. What I'm saying, sometimes you got to get down in that place and make it uncomfortable. Squirm a little bit. Take a deep breath a little. Take a couple of breaths. We're going to be out. It's, oh, my goodness. I'm going to close 6 months. I ain't even going to get to the good part. I done dug you up now, though.
Just keep going.
You know what a victim is, don't you? A victim is something that's been damaged or hurt. People choose. Here's the thing. People choose to be victims, and they want everybody around them to become one. That's the damage of it. They want everybody just like me. And they gravitate to people who have those circumstances. It never ceases to do whatever it does. Never amaze me. Because, I mean, my life is working with people. 30 years. My life is people. It always happens like this. People who have marriage problems, if they seem they're victim in it, they don't gravitate to somebody been married 40 and 50 years. They gravitate to somebody like Brad been married 6 times. And they'll ask Brad, what should we do?
Five,
take it back, 1, 5. He knows I love him. I married 4 of them probably. I didn't. 3?
3 or 4.
3 or 4, it don't matter. I mean, I performed it. I didn't help it. But they'll do. They'll go to somebody and it's a victim. Instead of going to somebody to tell them the truth. The problem's not your wife, buddy. The problem's you. Don't nobody like you. Your wife just, no wife probably don't like you. They don't want to know. They go to somebody, oh, well, yeah. Choose. It's a choice to be a victim. It's a choice. And you want everybody around you. Let's talk about being a victor just a minute. There are people who face the same events and circumstances but choose to swim upstream. They might swim slow and they might be a little awkward, but they have a vision of what's up there ahead and they don't lose sight of what's ahead. Regardless of come hell or high water, they just trickle right on.
Amen.
They don't stop by and make excuses.
Right.
They choose to stand up and fight.
Amen.
Rather than be overcome by an event. They choose to grab a hold of what they really want and set their plans to obtain it. They know the power of the Word of God. They know, regardless of what happened, that John 8:36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Yeah. Nothing. A victor's attitude, nothing can bog him down. He may stop a little bit, but he gets up and he stands up and he trickles right along the way. See, when Brother Jeff said this morning, touch his heart, and I'm bragging about Mike and Penny, when he said the faithfulness of God, Brother Jeff knows the obstacles we faced these 30 years. That we chose not to be a victim. It had been easy for us to be a victim when my daddy met with me on that Saturday morning. My own father, who prayed for me to be a preacher, looked me in the eyes, sat in his house. He said to me, Mike, he didn't call me son. He said, Mike, I think it's time you leave the church. My own daddy asked me to leave his church for preaching faith. I could have easily went outside and said, well, I'm a victim now. I hate people now. I hate church now. My own daddy rejected me. But you know what happened to me? Because I was in faith, man, I took that thing and walked right on top of it. I went on up the street some 40 miles away, rented me a building. Somebody gave me a diamond ring so I could borrow money on it. Got enough money to pay for the building. And we started a church and grew up to 100 and something people in that location because I wasn't a victim. Amen. And we had, 20 people he said, take with you. All of them could have been victims. But we didn't talk about them. We didn't get grudgingly against them. We prayed for them. Just to show you how I wound up, my daddy preached his last sermon right in here somewhere. Preached right in here, his last sermon the week before he died. Everything had been made right. We paid the person he ran off from the church when he got ran off. See, what you sow, you reap. He got ran off of the church. He ran me off. We paid his retirement till the day he died. Because I wasn't a victim. I was a victor. You can knock me down, but I'm going to get up. Bless God. I'm not going to lay and round and make excuses. Because I know God's got a plan for me. How many of you know God's got a plan for you? And a lot of people deal with a lot of things. Maybe I'm not dealing with what you've dealt with. Pretty well dealt with a whole lot of things along the line, but there's always somebody with a worse problem. Believe me. You think your problem's the top, there'd be somebody. Somebody. Somebody, like you say, and said somebody was arguing because they stumped their toe until they saw somebody that had no feet. There's a lot of difference in stumping your toe and somebody having no feet. It'll pass if you don't become the victim. Say, I'm not becoming the victim. Let me give you four quick things. That's how you deal with problems. Number one, face it. Yes, face the problem. The only way to overcome a problem is go through it. If you don't go through it to the other end, you'll place it somewhere on your life. You'll place it somewhere out there, be in your past where it may be or the side. You'll always view that problem until you face it and say, I got a problem. Don't hide from your problems. Don't become a victim. You face it. If you know what it is, as I often say, go tie yourself in a tree somewhere down in the woods. Tie yourself there and cry out to God until you get over that problem. Romans 8:31, we read, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Face it, because you have the power of God with you. Yeah. Say this after me as a confession. I'm strong in the Lord.
I'm strong in the Lord.
Say it like you are. I'm strong in the Lord.
I'm strong in the Lord.
And in the power of His might.
In the power of His might.
I'm like David.
I'm like David.
I stand and face the giants.
I stand and face the
of my life.
And through Christ Jesus,
I can conquer every giant that comes across my path. Hallelujah. Amen. Number two, deal with it. Face it and deal with it. Deal with your problem. Victim people always live in places they don't deal with. They never face their problems. Never deal with them. Let me read this from... Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians 13. Give me about 5 more minutes. Let me read this from the Amplified. And I'm going to substitute the word love with the word I. How many of you know as a Christian that you have the lover in you?
Amen.
God is love. He's not trying to get love. God is the lover. If God is love in you, you are a lover. I know I passed from death into life because I love the brethren, John said. So I'm going to substitute the word love with I. You are a lover. Listen. And I'm reading from the Amplified. You read whatever. It says, I, love endureth long. I endure long. I am patient and kind. This is your confession. I am not envious or boil over with jealousy. I'm not boastful or vainglorious. And I do not display myself haughty. I am not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. I'm not rude, unmannerly. I do not act unbecomingly. I, God's love in me, does not insist on my own rights or my own way. For I'm not self-seeking. I am not touchy or fretful or resentful. I take no account of evil done wrong to me. I pay no attention to the suffered wrong. I bear up under anything and everything that comes. I'm ever ready to believe the best of every person. My hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and I endure everything without weakening. You need to get that and write it on confessions for yourself. That's how you deal with it. You say what you are, not what you're dealing with. Number three, rehearse your victories. 1 Samuel 17:37 said, David said, moreover, the Lord had delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He would deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine.
Right.
Say this with me. My mind is renewed by the word of God.
I forbid thoughts of failure and defeat
to inhibit my mind. I am constantly renewed in the spirit of my mind. Having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. I will not let this temporary setback overshadow the blessings that the Lord has poured out on me. I will not allow this moment in time to rob my praise or my peace. The possibilities of my future are unlimited. Jesus said that all things are possible to him that believe. And I am a believer. Hallelujah. And last of all, move on. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Just move on. Ask the people to forgive you. Forgive yourself. And move right along.
Yeah.
Move right along. Philippians 3:13 through 15. Brethren. This is Paul. Paul wrote 3/4 of the New Testament from prisons. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press towards the mark. I hope you got some kind of mark out there. For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Listen to what the Message Bible says. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all this. But I've got an eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward. I'm off and running, and I'm not running back. So let's keep focus on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Hallelujah. That's how you get your breakthrough. You face your problems. You deal with them. You rehearse your victories and you move on. Will you stand with me? Hallelujah. Don't be a victim. Quit talking about it. When you talk about something, you give life to it. Learn to talk about the good life. And if it ain't good, just talk about what God said about it. God said he'd supply all my need, regardless if they're supplied right now. You say what God said about it. God said, surely he'd borne my grief and carried my sorrows. That's what God said.
Right.
Jesus said himself took my infirmities and bare my sickness. If you ain't got nothing else to say, just don't be saying, oh me, oh my, What's going to happen to me? Look at me. Look what I've done. Disqualifying yourself. You deal with it. Say, I'm going to deal with it. That's what we do in there all week long in this place. There's power for that. We met with people in our offices dealing with things. I mean, I left Brother Jeff and them the other day about 4 o'clock going home and had a guy that we know that we've been knowing for a long time. And we were talking and he was talking about this and that and the other. And Brother Jeff told me the next day, said it was 6:30 before we left out of the office. We had him, Brother Jerry had him slamming doors saying, you got to slam a door on the path. Y'all didn't hurt my doors in there, did you? Don't hurt my doors. Said we had him crying, shouting, snotting. He was dealing with it. You hear me?
Yeah.
It's time to deal with it.
Glory.
Don't let your past block your precious future.
Glory.
Ain't nobody can throw a rock at you.
That's right.
What you did, I did. Something different, probably worse than what you did. Who knows? I was a drug addict. No, you was a sinner. Take the drugs out of the equation. You were practicing sin. I was a fornicator. I was everything. That's what some people should say. I better not say what I was. My wife don't like me to tell what I was. Before BC, I wouldn't want it told. She don't even know the half, but she knows who I am now. See? You might have been a drug addict, but now you're a saint of God. Old things are passed away. Glory. See, I've been a pervert. That's why I have mercy. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Deal with it. Move on. Turn and tell somebody, move on. Here's another chance for moving day. The Bible says we're being changed from glory to glory. And I know pain, I know what it is to have pain in the past. I know what it is to cry about the past. You hear me crying today. I know what it is to be bad. But I know what it is to be cleansed. I know what it is not to be concerned about who's on the phone, who's calling. I ain't go to sleep. Hallelujah. And I have to be afraid to wake up the next day. That's a good life. You can't beat that if you got a mansion. See, even rich people living in mansions, some of them go to bed fearful. Because they've not been washed by the blood of Jesus. If you've been washed, move on. If you've been washed, don't be fearful about it. Don't participate in it, but don't be fearful about it. Come out among them, the Lord would say. Be ye separated people. You're the drug addict, you got no business around drug-taking people. Now, with an alcoholic, you ain't got no business sitting down the bar witnessing. I'm going down to the bar to witness. I'm going to win all those people to Jesus. Yeah, they'll win you back. You got no business with them. Let somebody never have. You send me down there, I wouldn't drink it. It makes me sick to smell of it. Don't send me to no topless bar, though. I send you. You ain't got no problem with it. But you ain't got no business in visiting. Get over it. Move on. It's your dawning of a new day. Glory to God. It's your birthday. Today is Brother Willie's birthday. Happy birthday to Brother Willie. Holding fast. Glory to God. They were the seed. They were seed for this day. They were the only black couple we had for years. And they would say, I wonder why the Lord sent. I don't know what they said, but I'm sure they wonder why they sent us over there with all those people. We've been through some things, ain't we? But this is their best time of their life. We got all kinds now. Black and white, yellow, blue, purple. It don't matter. We all precious in His sight. Glory to God. Lift your hands. I'm going to pray that your vision's not blurred. I'm going to pray you'll see the gold before you and hook onto that goal and move beyond your situation. Ah, Father, in the name of Jesus.